Have you ever looked at a rotten oak burl and thought, man, that's beautiful? Well, Phil Holton has plenty of times. Phil is a master wood turner in Perham, and he's been working with burls and fungus-infected woods for 35 years. Phil teaches the fine craft of wood turning in his studio, but only when he's not busy as the pastor of Calvary Lutheran Church in Perham. Phil's part of a wood turning exhibit now at New York Mills Regional Cultural Center, and we have Phil on the line this morning. Morning, Phil.
How are you doing?
Thanks for being on our program. We're doing
Thank
great.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to hearing about your work. Now, Phil, here in northern Minnesota, we have, of course, abundant forests of all different kinds. Do you tend to get your wood for turning from trees in our forests?
Almost totally local wood that I use. We live in one of the best places in the world to find wood and to find burls, especially in the deciduous forests.
Of hardwoods, for example.
Hardwoods.
Maples
so
and oaks.
Gets to be a little more difficult as we head north and east a bit into more birches and evergreens of different sorts. I love living here in Perham because we're at the kind of the intersection of the deciduous and the coniferous forests. Hmm. So I've got the best of both.
Well, tell us, what is a burl?
So there are two kinds of burls. One kind is an onion or layered burl, probably the more common, and that can be caused by an injury, a frost split in a tree, different sorts of things that the tree then tries to kind of heal up the exposure of the tree by putting on more wood and barks, and you end up with some really kind of wild shapes. Those are interesting. They have nice figured wood, but they tend to have a lot of bark in them and not quite so helpful as what we call an eyed burl, E-Y-E-D, like an eye. An eyed burl is a cancerous tumor on a tree, and it is really round. If you looked at the shape on the tree, it's round, and sometimes multiple round pieces put together, but that has the most remarkable grain ever.
Hmm.
And, you know, they come in all sorts of sizes. I've had 8-foot diameter burls. You know, more often you'd see 8-inch, 12-inch, 16-inch, things like that. You'd see it quite often on a black ash, box elder, burl quite often. I think any species will burl. Some are less. Maple, quite unusual. Birch, which would be very available throughout your range, as well as black ash, would be quite common.
I see. Now, you mentioned that the eyed burl is a cancer on the tree. Do you take the whole tree down then to get the burl, and will the tree eventually die from this?
Does not kill the tree prematurely, but yes, I do want to harvest the whole tree. Sometimes you're able to buy burls that are, I call them a cowpie, that someone has just sliced off the outside of the tree, and about 9/10 of that burl is being wasted when you do it that way. So that's not the best, but often people aren't ready to harvest their tree, and I tell them, well, I'm going to be around for a while, so take my card and call me when you're ready.
And Phil, you've described a little bit about what is appealing to you as a turner and an artist working with wood about a burl. And we have I have a website that people can go to and see some of your work. But tell us how I kind of fell in love with working with burls. What is specifically in that you try to bring out of a burl that makes it so beautiful?
Yeah. Well, you know, some part of it is kind of what wood turners like. Most woodworkers like nice, straight, even-grained wood, maybe a little figure, but wood turners are the only ones that I know who like also the bark, you know, the most distressed parts of the tree. And so I've turned all kinds of wood, but I am really drawn toward the kind of extreme sorts of wood that have some wild figure. They may be burled. Spalted is another word that you might want to learn, which is wood that has begun to spoil.
Huh.
And so there are some just extravagant colors and zone lines and things. If you get at the wood when it's just started to spoil, but before it's starting to lose its strength and its structure, you get the best of all. So for me, spalted, burled wood is just absolutely the top of the heap. And if it's got interesting bark on it, maybe wormy, maybe figured from lots of stress in the wood, you know, all of those things to me add lots of beauty to the wood.
Oh, that's so interesting. Taking what we think of as disease and marred and mangled wood and turning into something beautiful. Do different fungi color woods differently?
Yes. I don't know so much about this, but, you know, for example, a box elder, you have a red wave and then a blue wave and first red, then copper, then blue, and then black. And as I understand it, those are each different microorganisms that specialize on box elder. Elm would have a different one. Black ash would have a different one. And those spores are just out there all the time, just waiting for the right kind of tree to be available to them. It makes you realize how much you don't know about what's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about some of the colors? What's the range or variety of colors you'll find in a burl?
Yeah. My website, you'd really have to see that. But box elder, for example, has just crimson colors. And, a range, copper, blue, black. Something like hackberry has some really bright green in it. And some of those are color sensitive and some of them are not. That's one of the things that I try to deal with, too, to keep those as color stable as I can. But part of the joy of it, you really don't know what you're going to find until you open it up and look.
Well, I am looking at some right now online here in our studios, and I encourage our listeners to check out some of the beautiful things you've done with these burls. We're speaking with master wood turner Phil Holton about his work, especially turning burls and fungus-infested woods. He's been doing it for many years, and he teaches it as well, and he lives in the Purim area. You can also see his work at the New York Mills Regional Cultural Center. And, also when I think of wood turning, Phil, I've done a little bit of it, not very well, but I think of a lathe and the wood on there in a horizontal way, but I'm trying to imagine how you turn a burl. Is it that just what I'm describing?
Mm-hmm. So there are really two basic kinds of wood turning. One would be spindle turning, which would be the way you'd do a baseball bat or a chair spindle, and that sounds like what you're talking about, kind of long horizontal. It's what plenty of people learned in shop class. The other kind is called faceplate turning, and that is turning a larger round piece closer to the axis. And, you know, I've got lathes that'll turn a 36-inch diameter piece. I've turned pieces almost that big. It is a challenge sometimes to know how to cut these, how to fasten them. One of the little tricks that I do and that I teach people to do is sometimes a big burl, a big 20-inch diameter burl, I will take maybe 8 bowls out of that block. So I'll take successive bowls out of the inside so that I'm using that precious burl, virtually every bit of it, and I end up with a nest of bowls that is... feels like I'm a good steward of God's creation to use that well.
Well, I mentioned in the introduction you're a pastor at the Calvary Lutheran Church there in Purim. Do these burls and your woodworking inspire some of your sermons?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'm a theologian. I have my doctorate in theology, too, and I think that God tends to work with kind of imperfect material, too. So there's a bit of a theology in working with the ugliest tree in the woods and making something beautiful out of it. And, yes, so I, I hope that's the way I can be a pastor too, to see the beauty in all sorts of unlikely places.
Mm-hmm. And you teach the craft of wood turning. How would you describe the interest in your area? Do you have many students that want to learn?
We have many students.
Oh,
I've had
great.
Over 1,500 students, three at a time for a weekend, so I've been doing this a long time. We have active clubs in our area, Fargo, Fergus Falls, in this Detroit Lakes area, and I know that there are groups. I think Bemidji has had a group at times. There's a lot of interest in wood turning. It really is the most active craft guild in the country right now, and rapidly growing. So it's exciting. I have just enjoyed, you know, I love turning. I've also enjoyed greatly helping people, men and women, learn a way to be creative, learn a way to make beautiful things. And there is such joy for them. Their kids can't believe what their dad is doing. And I think, you know, retirement is a time that many of those people are finding time finally to do this. And it's like finding a whole new self inside them that they really, really enjoy. So that's every bit as exciting as taking an unlikely piece of wood and making something beautiful, to see our students get very excited about that.
Wood turner Phil Holton, he and 9 other wood turners have their work on display at the New York Mills Regional Cultural Center this month. And Phil, you kind of implied, are some of these pieces on sale of yours?
They are. Yes, they are.
Oh, boy. Would make a beautiful present for someone, I'm sure. Phil, thank you so much for being on our program.
Scott, thanks for letting me share with your folks.
You bet. Phil Holton, a master wood turner. And again, you can see his work and the work of other wood turning artists at the New York Mills Regional Cultural Center. The exhibit is entitled Gifts from the Forest, on now through December 31st. And there's an opening reception. That's tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. And for more information, you can give us a call, 800-662-5799. Our conversation with Phil Holton is part of Area Voices, our series covering the arts, culture, and history of northern Minnesota. And Area Voices is produced by Northern Community Radio with support from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the people of Minnesota.